All right, thank you. Let's open our Bibles. I want you to open your Bible to 1 John. 1 John, getting over close to the back of your Bible. We'll open it up to chapter 2, and I'll get into it in just a moment. Several of you, as I was talking with you this morning, and I know what all the, pretty much the current news is, we just wonder how it can get worse, and it does, don't it? I saw a little sign one time on somebody's desk said something like this. Said, cheer up, things could be worse. Said, sure enough, I cheered up and they got worse. And that almost is a commentary, I hate to say it, but it's almost a commentary on our situation in the country today. Most of you remember 9/11, 01, of course, and all the planes flying into the towers and all the devastation. And at the same time, Flight 93 was crashed into the ground in Pennsylvania as the passengers revolted and kept it from flying on into Washington and possibly even the White House. I want to read you something here, and the end of it, you'll understand it a little better. Said, I had the answers to some important questions. Is there an enemy who seeks the utter destruction of our cherished way of life, not for the spoils of war, but to establish a global religion? Surely not. Is it possible for Americans to be apathetic to the point of selecting leaders who will be complicit as useful idiots to enable the destruction of America's founding principles from within? Surely not. Could the sponsor of the coexist bumper stickers be a part of the Islam mafia using propaganda to confuse sheep, to sympathize with their ever-increasing demands for speech and religious rights under Sharia law here in America? Surely not. Does a true Muslim believe in America have to renounce the Constitution and the Judeo-Christian basis of American rule of law? Surely not. Is the current call for the destruction of Israel coming out of Iran from a wacko leader part of a centuries-old quest? Surely not. Could a weakness of worshiping at the altar of political correctness enable an avowed enemy to infiltrate our institutions, schools, judiciary branch, Congress, military, and churches? Surely not. Would a commander-in-chief sympathize with an avowed enemy of the Constitution, which he took an oath to uphold and defend? Surely not. Is there a religion that despises itself? I'm sorry. Is there a religion that disguises itself as peaceful, but really preaches death to all others as a guiding principle for global dominance? Surely not. Here's the one that'll enlighten you now. Would our son, Todd, rise up to fight back against the Islamic enemy and be killed in action as part of a victorious counterattack on September 11th, 2001? Surely not. This is written by David Beamer, father of Todd Beamer, that was on Flight 93, and he's the one that rallied the passengers to go to the cockpit, and therefore the terrorists flew the plane into the ground rather than going on to Washington, D.C. That's written by the father of the son, Todd, that was on the plane. Every question he asked there is pertinent to the condition. And this, he wrote this quite a while back, but it is so sad. I'm going to get around to it, maybe not finish it this morning. I'm going to get around to something I've done a little bit on before. I'm going to talk to you about some of the doctrine, bad doctrine, of Islam. And one of the things I want to do is make a comparison between what the Bible says about the coming Antichrist and the leader that they're asking to show up. I want to make some comparisons between the two of them. We get our information on the Antichrist, of course, from the Word of God, from the Bible. You get your information on their so-called Mahdi, or Messiah that's going to show up from what they teach about him. And when you run the two parallels, you recognize how compatible they really are from what the scripture tells us about the Antichrist and Islam's leader that's supposed to show up. Now, the question is begged to this point. Is the Antichrist going to come out of Islam? A lot of preachers are thinking so. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I do know they've got world dominance in mind and a world kingdom in mind, and the word caliphate means their kingdom. And as you watch the news, even the most liberal news that's been doing a lot of cover-up are finally letting some of the truth leak out also. And it's not good. For instance, all the refugees that are coming in across Europe and into America. And by the way, did you hear in the news where a Syrian refugee is going to sit in the president's box at the next big televised speech? What is it? State of the Union, I guess. And so we're going to have a Syrian refugee sit with his wife to be portrayed on TV to the whole world. I don't know what else it's going to take for us to recognize the enemy is not just over in the Middle East. Amen. It's in America right now. Amen. It's on the inside, big time. And it's a plan. Now, Brother Ken Lee gave me this morning, and some of you are getting all kind of information, so I'm not really going to be sharing anything probably you don't know, except maybe point out some of the scriptures. But here's one. Just come in. And it's being pointed out that there is a master plan behind the so-called refugee movement. Now, I feel sorry for starving kids. I feel sorry for the Christians that are caught up in it. But you got to recognize the enemy is using it. Right. Now, for instance, there's a lot of Arab countries such as Saudi Arabia. By the way, they're not our friend either. What was it, 15 of the 19 hijackers was from Saudi Arabia that flew the planes into the towers? They're not our friend either, but they're smarter than we are, letting us pay their bills and do their fighting for them. But anyway, with all that said, they and others like them are not taking any of these refugees. But America and Europe, we're being victimized by the situation. But the Arab nations are not taking them. That ought to tell you something right there. But I want to give you a word, and I don't even know I'm pronouncing it right. I'll spell it for you, H-I-J-R-A-H, Hydra, something like that, probably missing it pretty bad. But it's a word that you ought to know, because this is the plan behind all the so-called refugee movement moving into Europe, moving into America. It does have a plan. I can't read all this to you, but I'll point out just a couple of things. Hydra is jihad by immigration. It means moving to a new land in order to bring Islam there, and is considered in Islam to be a holy and reverend action. In other words, it's a war plan. It's a strategy. And it has a name in their doctrine. It says, and here's the quote from the doctrine, from their so-called scripture. And whoever emigrates for the cause of Allah will find on the earth many locations and abundance. And whoever leaves his home as an immigrant to Allah and his messenger, and then death overtakes him, his reward has already become incumbent upon Allah. In other words, you're going to get great heavenly reward from Allah if you go not only on jihad for as bombing somebody or killing somebody, but to go and plant Islam in another society somewhere. Wish I could read all this stuff to you, but only good thing I am seeing happen, and we're seeing it being counteracted from Washington, but a lot of Americans are beginning to get their eyes open. A lot of information like this is beginning to go around. And while they're telling us, don't believe what your eyes see or your ears hear, Americans are beginning to wake up a little bit. Right. Will we wake up in time? I don't know. But we are seeing some really bad stuff coming. Now, I wanted to just make a comparison between the Muslim Messiah and the false Messiah who will show up. In Christianity, we call him the Antichrist. The word only appears really one time over here in the Bible by the word Antichrist. I've sent you to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll look in verse 18. Now, he is named in the Bible by many other names. He's called the man of sin. He's called the willful king. He's called the lie. He's called the beast. He's called a lot of things in Scripture. And yet the word Antichrist is the common name we use. So over in 1 John chapter 2 says verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and we have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Thereby we know that it is the last time. Now John is saying even in his day there were false doctrines, false Christ, false leaders, and he had the right to say what he said. Now, the church age, the grace age that we live in, has been a great parenthesis in the Bible between the time that Jesus set up his church, was crucified, rose again, and left. We've been in the church age for roughly 2,000 years. And it kind of put on hold the fact that as the Lord gets ready to come back with his kingdom, the Antichrist is going to set his kingdom up first. And you find Paul saying that the Lord Jesus, when he come back, would destroy the man of sin with the brightness of his coming. He told the Thessalonian church that. Revelation 19, the Revelator John wrote about detail in Revelation 19, where the Lord would come back leading the armies of heaven, and he will destroy the beast that has numbered the world and set up his kingdom. Now, with all that said, Islam today teaches that their Messiah is coming. Many of them teach he's already here. And amazing to me when Ahmadinejad spoke to the UN and even spoke over here in America at one of our colleges, the main thing he spoke about was his Mahdi, his champion that was going to come. He opened his speech, this Iranian leader did, praying to that very Mahdi, that very, what we know will be a man similar to the Antichrist. Is he the Antichrist, the final one? I don't know. But it is interesting, some comparison. So our biblical lesson will be to kind of make some comparison. Right now, liberals in America accuse Bible believers of wanting to usher in the apocalypse. That's why they fuss at us, well, you don't care about the environment. You think you're going to get out of here. Well, amen. I got no problem with that. I'll plead guilty to that. But they try to accuse us. But Islam, as part of their doctrine, says for them to set their kingdom up and rule, they have to usher in what we would call the apocalypse, or a great time of destruction and war. If you read their code, they tell us they're going to defeat us because we love life and they love death. If you want to assassinate anybody and you don't care what happens to you, you can do it. You can do it. To assassinate someone and get away with it, run and get away yourself, that's pretty hard. But if you don't mind setting off a bomb that kills them and kills you at the same time, that's not quite so hard to do, and that's being proved all over the world with this system now. But I want to give you some comparisons, and I can't turn to all the scriptures because of sake of time. Some of them maybe I'll just ask you to write down. But when we compare both, I'm talking about now the Muslim Mahdi or Messiah, when I compare that to what the Bible says about the Antichrist, I'll get you to understand some things. For instance, both of them deny the Trinity of the Godhead. We recognize God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We baptize in those names and we understand, but they say, no, sir. They say God had no son and Jesus is not the Son of God. He was a prophet, but he was not the Son of God. So they deny, of course, they say the Father is Allah, who you and I know. We do a little study. The crescent moon is over the mosque, and it was a moon god that they chose out of about 600 gods that was being worshiped among the Arabs at the time Muhammad came to power. But both of them deny the Trinity. The Antichrist, if you read in the Bible very clearly, how they blaspheme. You in 1 John, look in chapter 4 of John while we're there, and pick it up in verses 2 and 3. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Well, you and I know Muhammad was a false prophet. Amen. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now John's saying, even in my day, there's a devil's got a crowd out there denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That spirit is stronger today than history's ever revealed it. And both the Muslim Antichrist, and he is against Christ. He says Christ was not the Son of God. He was not crucified. All of that stuff they say against him. He did not have a resurrection. All this they speak against Christ is pure blasphemy. And it's too bad. Again, over in 2 John, if you turn over to 2 John chapter 1, look at it in verse 7. We will write 2 John, where am I at here? 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Now, John uses the word antichrist where Paul calls him the man of sin and Daniel calls him the little horn and calls him and Revelation calls him the beast, but same one that they're talking about. Now, this is the blasphemy that is in the doctrine of Islam against Christ. What you hear the liberal politicians say every now and then is they'll say, well, the Quran mentions Christ, yeah, but not the right way. they'll say, well, Thomas Jefferson had a Quran in his library. He sure did, because the barbarian pirates, Muslims, was raiding our early ships on the coast over there of Tripoli and doing just what they're doing today, taking hostages and taking the cargo and then making us pay a ransom to get the people back. That's what they were doing way back, Thomas Jefferson's time. And so America had been paying the ransom to get our people back, and he said no longer. That's the way the Marines got formed. We sent a ship of soldiers over there. That's why today when you hear the Marine battle song, it is from the halls of Montezuma Reach to from shores of Montezuma Reach to the halls of Tripoli. Tripoli is in the battle song of the Marines still to this day. That's why they were formed. And they went over there and cleaned house for those pirates, which is still what needs to be done today.
Amen.
But anyway, this thing here that I'm talking to you about is anti-Jesus Christ. Now, both kingdoms suffer a head wound. Most of you know Revelation chapter 3, the beast is going to be wounded in the head, but he's not going to die. Now, a lot of Bible students believe that he could be a politician that gets wounded and lives, and when he lives, he's going to have a different spirit in him, and the Antichrist is going to take him over like Satan did Jesus. Could be. That's theory. We can't prove it. However, there's a physical mark, and I've told you this before, but I want to hear it again. If you see some fella show up on the political stage from any country, Rome, America, wherever, if you see him, an attempted assassination come on him, and he survives it, but he comes out with a crippled arm, and he comes out losing one eye, you're going to know who he is. So how you know? Well, if you want to look at it, go with me to the book of Zechariah. We'll see. He's going to be wounded, like Revelation 13 says. But in the book of Zechariah, we find out exactly what's going to happen to him. And I'll find it maybe time you do here in a minute. Got too many pieces of paper up here. But you go over to Zechariah chapter 11. If you get to Zephaniah, keep going to the right. If you get to Malachi, you went too far. Zechariah chapter 11, we'll look at a verse here. It's amazing how detailed the Bible is so many times. Here, looking in Zechariah chapter 11, pick it up with me in about verse 17. Here the Antichrist is called the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock, verse 17. Now here it is. Here's where he's going to be wounded. The sword shall be on his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. You catch a politician or religious leader or whoever he might be that gets an attempted assassination on him. Now, it's nothing for religious leaders to have such an attempt. The Pope's had some and others. And it's going to be interesting if you spot it. It could happen overnight. It could be breaking news in the morning. There's somebody out there already alive that the devil's going to use for his man. Is he going to come out of Islam? Is he going to come out of some other false religion? Or is he going to be a politician or what? I can't prove either one, but I know what to look for when the assassination attempt takes place. Now, both kingdoms, when I'm comparing the Bible's Antichrist against Islam's Antichrist, they both teach a head wound. That head wound is described in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. Let me give you a possibility that to Islam, some think it might have happened way back in 1924 when the Ottoman Empire was in control over, especially in control of Jerusalem. And most of you remember, I hope, well, I doubt we got any World War I vets here, but if you know your history, in World War I, the Turks, Muslims, had control of Jerusalem. You remember that in your history? And General Allenby of Britain led the army against Jerusalem to try to take it back. And by a miracle of God, he had his cannon pulled right up to the eastern gate of the walls of Jerusalem, ready to fire. And he didn't have to. He didn't want to. It was a holy city. He didn't. And by the way, that was the gate God said would always be shut, the eastern gate. That's how close he came to blowing it, but he didn't. The reason he didn't is they sent airplanes over the city. And you may imagine what a 1924 airplane looked like. You know what a 1924 Ford looked like? Well, a lot of folks don't know, but aviation was actually ahead of the automobile. And when those planes flew over Jerusalem, they looked like flying spiders. Not very fast, not very high, but they dropped out leaflets in the city of Jerusalem. General Allenby did that, asking them to surrender so he wouldn't have to blow the wall down. It was the holy city. He was a saved man, Christian. He didn't want to blow up the holy city. He knew some Bible about it. So when he dropped the leaflets and the Muslims picked them up, the Turks picked them up, they didn't quite understand all of it, but they knew that scripture had said that there would be a message from something like they described as flying eagles. You got to remember, airplanes were not very common. They had probably never even seen one. So they accepted it as being a message from God, and they surrendered. And the wall didn't have to be blown down. Now, a lot of people believe when the Ottoman Empire, the Arab Muslim Empire, and you got to remember all these nations didn't exist then, all these by name, the territory existed. Islam existed, of course, but they were not divided up into what we know today is Iraq and Libya and even all of that. So many believe the Ottoman Empire was the Kingdom of Islam receiving a head wound, and it lasted a pretty good while. By the time World War II started, the Arabs sided with Hitler and helped round up the Jews to take them to burn them in the oven. Again, that's your history. That's not taught much in public school, but it's there. You can get it. You go to the right sources, it's definitely provable what I'm talking about. Now, both kingdoms suffer a head wound. When the Antichrist takes his kingdom over on earth, the Bible says he's going to get the head wound. I just told you how it's going to be. And 1,400 years now, basically, of Islam, we're seeing them trying to bring back a kingdom, establish a worldwide kingdom, a worldwide caliphate. We see it under the titles Muslim Brotherhood. By the way, did you know America was the big leader in bringing the Muslim Brotherhood into power in Egypt? And displacing Mubarak, who was friendly to us and had a peace with Israel, we replaced him. The Muslim Brotherhood took over. I will say this for the Egyptian generals, after a while, when it was apparent the Muslim Brotherhood, that Islam had taken over, the worst of it, they rebelled. They overthrew the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood. Right. Now, I'm going to say something that could get me in trouble. There's a lot of redneck talk, and I agree with all of it. We need a revolution in America. But I want to warn you, it can't come from the ground up. You can't get out there with your deer rifle and overthrow the government. That is foolishness. But if there would ever be a house cleaning in America, it would have to be what the generals done in Egypt when they replaced the Muslim Brotherhood. It would have to be the highest leadership in the military is what happened in Egypt. You say you advocating that? I'm saying one thing, something's got to happen. Amen. Or America's going down the tubes. Right. Say, well, we got an election. Yeah, I'm praying something good will happen. But if it don't, we're in a heap of trouble. Amen. I mean a heap of trouble. Now, to talk plain like that, about the only one can talk plain like that is Donald Trump. He seems to be getting by with it. So what do you think about it? I'm patting my foot every time he makes them mad. But anyway, we don't know how that's going to turn out. Coming back to make a comparison now between the Muslim Antichrist and the biblical Antichrist, both of them ride white horses. Do you know that? Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist shows up on a white horse. A lot of folks think that's Jesus. No, it's a counterfeit Jesus. Jesus shows up on his white horse in Revelation 19. Right. But in chapter 6 of Revelation, the first horse is a white horse that shows up of the four horsemen. And that's the false Christ. In Islam, the white horse is a big deal. How many of you ever saw Saddam Hussein on TV riding a white horse? That was his favorite. He was trying to be the incarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and he rode the white horse. You see him firing the gun in the air and all that stuff. You know what got Saddam Hussein displaced? His pride. Right. He was so proud he couldn't tell the truth. He made everybody believe he had weapons of mass destruction, and it was his destruction. His pride wouldn't let him admit no different. Even some of his generals have said, we thought he really had them. Well, anyway, both kingdoms have a head wound, both Antichrist on the white horse of Revelation 6, the Muslim Antichrist, as even Saddam Hussein wanted to portray himself also. They both want to change the laws. Now, this is what we're fighting right now in America. Is Sharia law going to replace our Constitution? In some cases, it seems like it is. For instance, in Detroit, Michigan right now. There's a little town, I forget the name of it, right in the edge of Detroit. And it was mostly Polish people. You could go there, you could buy the Polish sausages and all that stuff that was pictured their culture. But that little Polish town now has become Muslim. And the city council has become Muslims. And Sharia law is what they're going by. I'm talking about in America. When Donald Trump said that at 9/11 there was rejoicing in New Jersey, there was some, but the biggest rejoicing was in Detroit, Michigan. And I saw that with my own eyes on the TV before they got smart and turned the cameras off of it. But the sad truth is, folks, and I'll have to continue this, I didn't get very far, Sharia law is what we better be on guard against right now in America. Under Sharia law, if your daughter or your son offends and embarrasses you by becoming Americanized, you have the right to kill them. Right. It's called honor killing. And right here in our area, I know of two cases where it's happened. And apparently, they got away with it. They got away with it. What was the sin? The sin was that a son that sat right here in my congregation was thinking about getting converted and receiving Christ, and his family murdered him and got by with it. In another case, a young couple sat right in my congregation, had a baby, went home, they got converted, we baptized them, they had a baby here, and the vacation time come in the summer, they went back to Saudi Arabia, I believe it was, to show the baby to mom and dad, and they were machine gunned down in their car, baby too, killed all three of them, and there was a note put on the windshield, this is what you get for converting to Christianity. We're not dealing with a fairy tale. We're dealing with something pretty serious. Amen. I'm glad I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. I know which Messiah is the real one. I hope you do too. Time's up. We'll have to...